Okay, I'd like to call to order our August 29th, 2022 special meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Ferguson?
Here.
Mr. Keck?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And, oh, we don't even, okay, we don't have an agenda on board docs. But anyways, really the purpose of our meeting tonight is just to continue our discussions on our work plan. So I think you all saw, I got the template that is really what's used for our revised district strategic plan, and the building administrators are using this template as well. So I said, you know what, maybe we should consider using this. So that's why I sent this new template. It's really a very similar layout to what we were using in the past because it includes the action steps. But this, I like this because it included the focus area, the description for the focus area, and then it outlined also the objectives that were included in that focus area. So I talked about everybody looking through this, kind of coming up with their bullet points, comments, and I know that we also got the revised goals from Todd and Diane based on the few comments that we made when we discussed them at our last special meeting. So anybody have any concerns about the revisions that Todd and Diane made in their goals? My notes, it was that we wanted him to include a reference to all of the different funds. Mm-hmm. So we added that in the financial stability, naming the operating, permanent improvement, and bond funds. And then in safety, we had also asked, well, actually either in financial stability or safety, but there was a reference to having a real focus on staff well-being and everything. So he added a comment in his safety mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Employers putting greater focus on mental health and well-being, that they're going to investigate options to ensure district staff wellness is prioritized. And then Diane added in her objective number 3 for the strategic plan area of safety, she added the superintendent will establish a district level safety committee composed of essential community partners, staff, parents, and students as age appropriate.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And those were the notes that I had from our meeting.
Right.
Okay. So yep. So anyways, I guess when we look at our work plan, I approach this as looking at the district strategic plan, looking at how the treasurer and the superintendent had pulled out certain things from that strategic plan that they wanted to use as their goals, and then looked at how can the board support those goals as well as part of a governance team approach. Mm-hmm. And also looked at last year's, because there are, in my opinion, there are some items in here that are just kind of an ongoing focus that the board needs to have.
Yep.
So with that overview, I would open it up to, you know, if we'd like to start with focus area on student learning and just have some conversation about what people think are some good action steps to take. I guess make one other comment from our special meeting. I did also have notes that we wanted to make sure we were really focusing on financial security, both from a levy and growth in the community standpoint. Mm-hmm. I had a note about staff retention, how important that's important to the board, parent engagement, and safety.
Right.
Which I know, I don't know if anybody else went to the OSBA, what do they call it, the talks that they have every once in a while, but there was one this last week. There was a town hall where they were talking about the beginning of the school year, mm-hmm. and Kim Miller-Smith was one of the speakers, and she was just reminding everybody how safety really needs to be number one. And, you know, said, here we are, the first week of school, and there have already been a couple of incidents. And I'm going, yep, I know what she's talking about.
Right.
You know,
as I was looking at our work plan from the previous year, It was focused very much on COVID. And so my over...
Yes.
One of the overarching things was to eliminate the COVID references. Because of Uvalde and because of us expanding, fingers crossed, expanding the school resource officer program, that might be one of the areas where we specifically talk about a plan, you know, somewhere in the safety, some maybe somewhere in the financial sections, or maybe both. So,
okay.
Now, also, I will say, when I pulled up the template, I know this was a template for the administrators in our district, and under the goals, like Objective 1, student growth, Objective 2, character development, and then future preparation, I didn't know that those particular titles matched what the board ought to be doing, that we ought to set our things differently, because a building principal, a building administrator, department administrator is going to be focused very narrowly in their view of and their responsibilities, where ours needs to be as broad and as expansive as it can to cover any and all things which we might do or might decide not to do.
Right, right. I agree. I mean, I like having them in there. And in the, my bullet points, I think a couple times, like if you look at that future preparation, I don't have anything like specific for future preparation, other than I've got like review, revise, and develop policies that are aligned to the district strategic plan.
Yeah,
which is pretty broad, but it could cover future prep. Programs, I don't know.
What do you have under character development?
Well, okay, so do you want to, like, any other general comments about how we approach this?
No, I don't think so. Let me throw this in, and I'm not sure if I'm getting ahead of myself or not.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so one of my big things are what are the goals that we as a board want reported to us over the next year? And they should align at some point with what these are saying. Okay, so personalized learning. We've had a ton of new staff members come to the district, and we've gone through a lot of evolutions with personalized learning. So, but for a couple years, that was the only thing that we were seeing. Now, I think we need to have a presentation on personalized learning, and I think that it's our responsibility to learn more about personalized learning independently as a board and what we're doing in the classrooms now, just because we've had so many staff changes. So, but I don't want to make that like our sole goal or sole focus area. Things that we need to be thinking about are class size and eventual school growth and school expansion. So coming up in the next year, would I kind of like to see some presentations on, you know, exactly where we are in growth once we get kind of through this September time period, but also where are we going as far as the land that we own and a potential new school? So that may be several years out, but I think we need to keep it on the radar as far as information sharing. And then also, English as a second language. We've had a pretty major increase in the number of English as a second language students coming into the district. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of a new thing that's been added to the mix, and I think that is an area of focus that maybe we need to kind of be aware of and what's going on, and you know, what does the future kind of look like as far as that particular area. And then I think we talked about also that we'd like a kind of an update on permanent improvement. What are we doing with the permanent improvement dollars? Even if it's just a small update every month or a bigger update once a quarter or something.
Yeah, because I was thinking Todd said he updates. I mean, I was thinking that we had talked about maybe quarterly or the quarterly update for that.
Yeah. But it's just kind of these kind of big changeable things that are going on in the district.
Right.
You know, that maybe we need to keep our hand on the pulse of what's going on in those particular areas.
Now, before some of you got here, I admitted that this format kind of threw me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess as I approach this, and part of it comes from a vested interest in that I had a part in developing what our goals were for the last year and so forth, and I'm not tied to those and so forth. But when I looked at student growth, character development, I didn't necessarily see those, I didn't recognize those as specific to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of by default went to at least for goal one, you know, that the board supports policies and you know, what we had as a general overarching goal from our previous years. We've got an introductory paragraph, and I had some wording changes in terms of that, but in terms of what I thought as a board that you know, that we have said in the past that the learning activity, the academics of it, is our first goal, our first objective. And so that's, as I said, by default, I just went to what we had written last year.
Okay. Comments, Bill?
I just wondered
some bullet points.
What you had under character development, because
and that's I didn't really have anything specific to character development. I mean, I had comments about I tried to tie into like Todd and Diane's goals some.
Mm-hmm.
So for the student learning, you know, Todd was, he really talked about the upcoming levy as being one of his main goals in student learning, and so I just said support the upcoming levy and serve as ambassadors to help inform our constituents of the importance and impact our funding has on student learning.
Sure.
And then I've got discuss and support our building level personalized learning focus, and I think this kind of ties into your comment on student learning, gap closing, growth, and social emotional learning by ensuring resources and professional development are available and relevant. And then I've got stay abreast of educational trends. This kind of goes into last year's goals, where it's important for us when it comes to student learning to be, you know, to understand what's going on out there by attending OSBA or COSSBA or other related events, reading educational books and articles, networking with other board members and business contacts. And then some from last year, too, just that, about reviewing, revising, and developing policies and researching educational-related legislative issues, actively advocating in support of our district. So I don't really have anything with character development, specifically for character development or future preparation. because, again, I, like some of those things,
well,
I don't know that those are out, you know,
right.
Like...
Well, I didn't like those. I didn't like any of those three.
I mean, but that's part of our strategic plan. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
right.
And if you look
you
at the details of the strategic plan, it outlines them in there from a district perspective, you know, that should be addressed at our building level through programs, through professional development, things like that. I mean, it was a result of all the conversations where they were talking about that needs to be the committee strongly felt that future preparation and character development were an important part of student learning.
Well, during some meeting, I don't know where it was, we talked about character development, and I'm just pushing this toward the high school, but junior high maybe also, and that is, we've got, and I have no figures to back us up, but we brought somewhere between 30 and 50% of the students involved in some kind of maybe professional or sports activity that could be developing character and leadership outside the classroom, because there's no time to do it really in the classroom. And what you find, or at least I found, is that that 30%, you know, they're playing football, they're playing basketball, they're playing baseball, they're in the FFA, you know, they're in band, whatever. They're in multiple. But then we got 50 to 70% of the kids that aren't in anything and can't wait until the bell rings to go home. And they really don't have, in many cases, a lot to go home to, but they're out of that school environment. And if there's some way as a board we could push that, either, you know, and as soon as you tell anybody they have to do something, you have an instant resistance. And I'm worse about it than anyone. So if there's some way that teachers and staff can really work on and maybe guidance track where these kids are at and say, you're not, you know, you're not in any of these. We got 70-some activities, and you're in zero. And we need to get that because that goes towards your resume or whatever.
And I think I didn't, I for some reason, I have this memory that
I answered,
that
was
part
of,
like, social-emotional with Mark Gallagher, like, when it comes to safety, you know, because some of those kids that aren't involved in anything are at risk for a variety of things, you know, and so I recall that they are trying to track that to encourage everybody to have at least one thing that interests them that they can be a part of. So I mean, I like as
you
a
think
board,
it's already
I think
there.
As a board, like our job is you know, make sure that we're asking questions. How's that coming along? Or let's confirm that this is something you're working on.
And I think it's also part of the instructional method, because if you're doing group work and you have three students sitting around the desk, there's a leadership opportunity. You know, it's not...
There is, but it's not the quality.
And I understand that, you know, it's not being the captain.
It's not like a team.
Being...
That you, has you know, coaches and stuff.
You've coached enough football to know there's a lot more leadership goes on out there. Training that can't happen in the classroom. You know,
and you have young men and women that step up and
they become leaders.
They become leaders. They become vocal. They lead through example. You know, all sorts of things. But I think. I agree with Sue. I think that, you know, we can kind of track and see where we're going on that, redirecting my thoughts.
So I don't know if there's, you know, if you'd like to try and
figure
out some way to include something about monitoring district
student
plans to ensure
students.
Monitoring percent.
It's student connection.
Student
connection. Some activity.
Mm-hmm. for like student engagement and extracurriculars.
There was like a Star Wars club a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That had a lot of kids in a lot of kids that normally weren't in other stuff. And then there was a video game club and a coding club.
Mm-hmm. So there was a ping pong club for a while.
Oh.
A lot of those things, it's, as you guys know, it's dependent upon having an advisor available and interested student leadership, too. So we want to include something about monitoring student engagement in extra/co-curriculars or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
it fits in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Jermaine, do you have any comments over there yet? Just dotting things down.
So these are my thoughts. I know we have a strategic plan. So I feel like as a board, we've done our job. We've passed a strategic direction. It's 5 mm-hmm. years.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job. Now we monitor and make sure that we are moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily believe that that is a board work plan.
Mm-hmm.
The way I review work plan is not tied to anything that we've already passed, the policies or anything. Mm-hmm. It's our job to monitor our policies, our strategic direction,
mm-hmm.
and to receive feedback and make sure that we're on target. Mm-hmm. The way I view a work plan is what can we do to strengthen the work of the board
mm-hmm.
and either provide clarity or realignment from a strategic standpoint, from a systematic standpoint. That's how I see,
mm-hmm.
how I understand the last 10 years, how long it's been directly tied to the strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think our job is done. We pass our strategic plan, now we monitor it, and that's it. I don't mm-hmm. know if there's any actionable items that we do necessarily to move that along, because we've empowered our superintendent, our treasurer, to execute, and our building principles mm-hmm. to execute that strategic plan. Things that I look at, what could we do as a board in the next year, next calendar year? So these are just some things I thought, and I don't know if we use the strategic plan model, then that's fine, but these are mm-hmm. some things that I thought would be helpful. One is to establish a clear and just a, I'm new, so that these things may already mm-hmm. be in place. Establish a clear process for individuals to apply and be selected to serve on a board, superintendent, treasurer, advisory committees, or task force. And that process will include those names being in those committees that we have to be published. That way we all know, the community knows, who is serving in those capacities and what those are. So what are the committees? What are... And who serves with them. I also think we should strengthen the way we recognize we have a lot of building volunteers, so maybe if we can annually, and if we already do this, maybe that's fine, but some kind of communication to all of our building volunteers or any volunteer in the district, maybe around the holidays, that something goes out to the board, from the board to mm-hmm. those volunteers to make sure we recognize those volunteers. My second point was to create a roadmap that will lead to the establishment of an optimal student-teacher ratio for K through 4 students. So instead of looking at the teacher-student ratios from, high school, middle school, we can focus on K through 4 and see if we can create a roadmap. How do we get to an defining optimal ratio, student-teacher ratio, and then how do we arrive there? And that might not be in the next year, but at least creating that roadmap. Working with the professional, superintendent, treasurer, what will it take to get our teacher student ratios to be the best that we can get them to be. Kind of what Ian alluded to is that district growth plan. I think that's something that we should consider taking a look at. We have our enrollment projection study now. Now what do we do with it? What, with our land use, the properties we have, how do we start looking at that and saying, all right, in the next 10 years, we're projected to grow X amount. What does that entail? And I understand there's a lot of unknowns, but maybe just being more intentional about that process to help guide the direction of that growth. I don't know. The next one is a question if it should be a part of our board plan, but the gifted program, how do we enrich the gifted program? That's been something that's come up to me, and I've heard it been shared since I've been on the board. Not sure if that reaches the level of the board doing that work. I also know bullying and harassment, just making sure that I know that we have policies, but then how do we, my concern here is how do we communicate what we have in place to give our parents reassurance that their kids are being taken care of. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not, if we need to look into revise and strengthen any policies or anything, I think we have good policies, but I want to make sure that those parents who are saying that these are unresolved issues, we can build those relationships with them and be more intentional with them. And then I don't know if there's, this is my last one, how do we strengthen our economic development incentives, our business relationships to aid into the exploratory learning? So those are my comments. I'm going to, because the exploratory learning, you know, those should be internships, those should be some creative partnerships, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have our business, we have businesses in the community, we have economic development incentives, so can we leverage those things to aid? I think from a board perspective, we are in a position to help guide those discussions and those decisions. So what is our ask, and how do we leverage that for our exploratory learning? So that's how I looked at it. Does it fit perfectly with our strategic plan? No, but the premise, I struggle with the board needs to dive into the strategic plan, because I think we've already said it. Now it's our job to monitor it and empower those individuals.
Okay.
Having started completely in the wrong place mentally, and now recognizing what you're suggesting and what and going back kind of to where I was, what as a board we have done is to say essentially in our work plan, our goals is to be supportive of but we have not taken in the past, we have not said we were going to do very specific things, which some of the things you mentioned I think are pretty specific. Mm-hmm. We would support additional communication with our staff and with our volunteers and with, you know, that kind of thing. And then how that happens, whether it's through, you know, the superintendent does it, is it something that the board does, you know, we just need to make sure that that is one of the things that happens. I think you've hit on a number of really important and key things that are part of our activity. But I struggle a little bit at this point in our discussion, not being more general and using language that we want to support development of, or we want to support this, because I think as a board, that is really where we do our work, is being supportive of things.
Instead of establishing so much, you know, because like I worry about like even establishing a clear process for people to serve on committees. When I look at us, I'm saying, okay, to me it would be more ask Diane to share with the board what is her current process on creating these committees, so that we have an opportunity to say, You know, well, it seems like the same people are on the committees every time. You know, or we hear that, or, you know, so are you, how do you approach this? Do you talk to building principals? Do you target people? Or, you know, because it's not, especially if they are her committees or Todd's committees or some other committees, I think she needs to have the ability to say this is my process and have us question it versus saying this is the process we want you to use. You know, I mean, I think it needs to be more of a conversational kind of a thing. So I don't disagree with.
Is there something specific that drove that? Was a conversation you had with somebody?
Not exactly. I think from a systematic point of view, I think that's a good. Okay, this is. We don't have a support. We already passed the 5-year strategic plan. We support it. Mm-hmm. And have a vote.
Yeah. But there are.
This is called a work plan. So what do we do?
Yeah.
With this thing, I've been on the board not too long. Mm-hmm. I don't know who serves on our boards and or our committees. I think even our board committees could use some rework and maybe taking a look at, are these committees, what's the purpose, what's the process, do we need, I mean, that's an actionable mm-hmm. item that we could.
Well, I mean, we assign people to many committees that end up being ad hoc committees if they're needed. So negotiations, like, would be an example. We have a negotiations committee. It's not needed very often because we haven't had formal, well, like we had negotiations with the bus driver, so I was on that. But other like we have a technology, we have some committees that, again, I mean, I understand they've just been in place for a long time, but they're basically ad hoc, and there's really not been.
So an action item would be, let's look at this.
Yeah.
Let's look at all these
right.
things that we appoint people to.
Right.
Are they needed?
Mm-hmm.
Or could they be called up as needed and appointed by the board president?
Well, essentially, yeah. that's what we have done. We mm-hmm. have said, as a board, we have all these different committees that we could create, but we will only create them as needed.
I'm not trying to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These are things that I thought we should work on.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily going to say, I think if I'm a parent in the school district, mm-hmm. I'm interested to serve. Obviously, you can serve your PTO in the building.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that process? You know, I don't even know who's on our finance. Right. I met someone at a meeting, so she's been on mm-hmm. the finance committee for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I would have known that, because when she introduced herself, I could have been like, oh, mm-hmm. I could have said, oh, I know you do this. Mm-hmm.
I think that's easily remedied by just saying, hey, Todd, who's on your finance committee?
I have asked these questions, maybe not as direct, but I have asked who's on our committees, and I haven't got that question.
I don't get it either. I mean, like, the COVID committee.
Oh, the medical advisory committee.
So, I mean, but I specifically went and asked if I could sit in on those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't share that stuff. And
well, I think part of it is, as I'm sitting here and I'm mm-hmm. trying to take in everything that you said, mm-hmm. our role as a board is to vote on policy and to hire a superintendent and a treasurer. That's really what we do. That's the work that we do.
Mm-hmm. So what's the work plan?
When I look at the work plan, we approved a district strategic plan, and now every building will have their work plan that's tied to the strategic plan. And so I feel like our work plan is an opportunity for us to let our community know, yes, we've approved the strategic plan, and as a board, these are the kinds of things that we're going to be focusing on, supporting, that, you know, and these are some ways that we will do it. And I think that it allows the community to understand, oh yeah, they're not going to be making decisions on daily operations, you know. We're going to be networking. We want to be liaisons with our community. We want, with the levy, we want to be actively involved in helping to educate our community. And that starts with us making sure we understand the five-year forecast, the permanent improvement forecast, the bond forecast, and that when we're out talking to people, we encourage them to go to the district website when Todd has his documents that he creates and stuff. So I look at that as a way that we can show our community that we support the financial stability part of the strategic plan by being ambassadors and by helping to inform and educate our community.
Not to go back and
yeah.
too mm-hmm. much, mm-hmm. We have those laid out in our policies of board member duties. We have voted, it says all those things, support, and so it's not, work plan to me is, mm-hmm. this is the things that the board's going to work to mm-hmm. rectify or clarify yeah. throughout the year. I mean, that's how I see it. I'm going to be quiet and let other people say that.
Well,
but
I thought we could
be intentional and work on. Mm-hmm. We've passed the strategic plan. We're going to be getting building updates. We're going to be getting updates mm-hmm. that are rooted in that mm-hmm. for the next 5 years. What can we do, you know, that is looking at the system-wide approach that, you know, we're going to be working that, the strategic plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I hear a roadmap for, like, the optimal ratio students in K, teacher mm-hmm. students in mm-hmm. K through 4, mm-hmm.
That's part of it. Union. That's part of the contract.
Yeah,
I mean there's some things that are in contract that, I mean, it's not, we can't really, we can certainly request, we can certainly say as a board that we would like to see a different student-teacher ratio.
Yeah, but
we have to come up with how do we arrive?
Yeah,
right. Well, and I think that's where, as a board, we work with our superintendent. Okay. And maybe, you know, our work plan says that we want to make sure we want to support and make sure that we have appropriate student-teacher ratios, and that becomes then our work. But mm-hmm. If we as board members start researching, you know, numbers and trying to figure out whether it's 20 students or 18 students or 25 students or, you know, whatever the numbers are, I see that more as the superintendent coming to us and saying, this is what I think. Mm-hmm. is an appropriate number, and we are, and here's why this is an appropriate number, and we can then agree or disagree. I know. You know, we can. You know, when you try to calculate that, how do you count the guidance counselors? How do you count librarians? Do those people count in the ratio, or do they not count, or whatever? And I agree, everything you've pointed out, and I'm not trying to argue with the points that you've raised, I guess I'm sensitive to try to make sure that we don't go a little bit too far mm-hmm. in terms of what our role as a board is.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Is it the role of the board to represent the values of the community and to advocate and to say, this is what the community's needs are, mm-hmm. and how can we make this happen? Mm-hmm. So we have to, there has to be a starting point. Yes, I mean, it's going to be collaborative, working with the superintendent and treasurer, but we can't wait for...
I don't look at as our role 100% as being the eyes and advocating for our community. I mean, I don't know. To me, my number one goal is making sure that we've got resources in the district, and we've got, you know, we're educating all of our students, and we've got the right leadership in place, the right staff in place, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, to me, it's that people have concerns. Our job is to make sure that we connect them to the staff that can be working on them. And if it ends up becoming a big, I mean, like everybody has the same issue and there need to be changes, then we facilitate that, those conversations. I'm sorry, go ahead. You've been waiting for a long time.
Well, I think what we're trying to do tonight and what Jermaine's trying to do are two mm-hmm. different things. Mm-hmm. But I understand Jermaine's frustration because, mm-hmm. and I haven't been on the board as long as he has, mm-hmm. but I'm not seeing an opportunity, a work session that addresses this kind of stuff. You know, why I don't think it needs to be in what we're doing tonight, mm-hmm. but I do think it needs to be in some work sessions, mm-hmm. because I'm clearly hearing every point that you brought up from the community. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, you know, we're elected to serve their mm-hmm. wants. And just because all the people I talk to, they know exactly how to get a hold of Diane, mm-hmm. you know. And they don't want to get a hold of somebody. They want to see some changes mm-hmm. in the district. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're bringing these points up, and, you know, there's quite a few of those points there, and there's some others I've, you know, heard. And but, like, you know, student-teacher ratio, it's in the contract, but, you know, if we came to the teachers' union and say, we want five kids in every classroom, they're not going to balk at that. So, right. You know, that's not a...
Well, right.
Now, if you said, we want 30 kids in every classroom, yeah, the teacher union is going to say, well, hold on here, we have this contract, you know.
Right.
So there's two extremes there. And mm-hmm. I, you know, having done the tours, you know, my concerns about that are much improved, I guess I might say, because I didn't see too much overcrowding. Obviously, you'd like to see, you know, numbers much lower than in the 20s, you know, or high 20s. But, you know, the classrooms did not look overcrowded to me looking at that. But we should be having a night and maybe several meetings to deal with this kind of stuff. And I agree with you, our job is to hire the superintendent and treasurer, but those people have to do what we need them to do. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're looking for a new superintendent and treasurer. Mm-hmm. You know, and when a re-election comes up, and it will, these are the things the community is going to say, hey, you didn't do anything about bullying and harassment. You didn't do anything about the gifted program, you know, and here we are, we need a new building and we don't have one and we don't have a plan for one, you know. And you got somebody who's never been on the board who is out there shouting, we're going to get this done mm-hmm. when I get elected. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you're not elected anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're facing some of the same frustrations that mm-hmm. I think we're facing here as new board members.
Yeah, because I don't disagree with any of the items that you've brought up.
Right.
Not a one. And those are all things that I think we can do better. It's just...
But if we never talk about them.
Right.
We go a whole year and we don't talk
about
them.
Right,
right. And I just want to make sure that we approach it in the right way.
Yes.
And whatever as a board we decide, I will fully support. But that's, I just want to make sure that we do it the right way. That we make sure as we work as a governance team, that we are inclusive of the superintendent and the treasurer in our discussions about these things, that you know, we can have meetings to talk about all these things and to work on, you know, what our teachers and student ratios are and what they're going to be. Because I've been in the education business enough to know that every single one of these things needs to be addressed, needs to be improved, and I also know they are extremely complicated.
Yes, and that's what I think. Well, and I think that's why I agree. I think the conversations are really critical. I mean, maybe part of it, you know, since I've been on for longer, I've had some of those conversations, and the more I've had them, the more I realize just how complex they are, you know. But I think it would be great, especially for you, to have some of those conversations. And
I wouldn't object to us.
I know all of us. A work session. I agree. Because I think that's, it just gives everybody an opportunity to share their concerns, to ask their questions, and to become educated as well, you know. And with new board members, you have different circles of friends. So you might bring some concerns or comments that hadn't been shared before. And all of those things help us to get better, I think. So I think would it work to add an action step about adding some work sessions to discuss community concerns and comments, you know, add like regular work sessions to discuss community,
I don't like to characterize it as community concerns. I think it's the board's concerns. Mm-hmm. I mean, are these not our concerns? Or is this not why we ran for the school board to address these matters? So let's work on it. But that's why I'm bringing this.
Well, I mean, people ran for different reasons. I didn't run because I saw problems. I ran because my kids had a great experience and I wanted to stay connected to the schools, you know? So, but anyways.
These aren't bad problems, right?
Right.
Growth isn't necessarily a bad problem.
I think they're universal.
We just have to steward it, right?
Right.
We have a levy coming up. This the perfect time to see how do we get optimal ratios for K-4? This is the time to figure that out now. Mm-hmm. We can sell that to the community. Say, we can do this if we have your support. This is the time to do it.
Yeah,
it's not going to be after your levy.
Instead of just saying, if we pass the levy, we're going to be at status quo, you know, I think we need to be looking at other things.
Hopefully we're going to have SRO, you know, like that.
So that
I'm hoping that's going to be a part of the levy message, you know.
That doesn't, you know, to me as a parent, looking back on that, having an SRO does not increase the child's education. You know, not getting shot up does, obviously, you know, and safety, that goes under safety, but just like brick walls, you know, they goes under safety. But, you know, you talked about we have been, since I've been in Marysville, talked about, and we used to have a pretty robust program for, the gifted program, you know.
Right.
But instead of having a standalone gifted program for gifted children, you know, where's our orchestra, you know? I got that comment probably 5 or 10 times in Mill Valley. You know, where's the orchestra? And I'm like, I thought I was talking to my mom. that was one of her goals as an educator. But, you know, at the conference, you know, you saw the orchestra from, what was it, Toledo? Or Cleveland?
Marion.
Huh?
Oh,
Marion. Right, because it was the Central Region President's School District.
That's
Marion.
True.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
what do we have that's on that scale?
We have a jazz band.
Yeah,
we have a jazz ensemble.
Yeah, we have a jazz ensemble. And we have band programs. We don't call them orchestra.
And it, but there's a difference between a band
between
an orchestra.
And
it hits a whole different group of students.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a different art, you know.
Right.
So there's just 100 examples in each of these areas that we could be looking at. And, you know, as a voter, there's always going to be that voter that says, why the hell do we have an orchestra? You know, we're spending too much money on the schools. You know, but there's also a bunch of people who are saying, you know, I'd like to send my kid to a school that has something like that and would be willing to support that. You know, what are we doing that's beyond?
And I feel like the revised strategic plan really focuses on more community engagement to come up with additional opportunities for our students to, you know, connect with them, to get them more ready for the future, whether it's a workforce curriculum or it's more social emotional, that I think would tie into that monitoring who, you know, which students do we have who aren't involved in anything. And then that, you know, parent engagement, that's where you maybe meet some parents who have a background in orchestras or something like that. Because, you know, I mean, you can say you want one, but you got to find somebody. And then are you going to pay them the stipend? And then you start saying, well, do we want to do that? Or do we want to have a better student-teacher ratio? And those are all things that that I feel like as a board, we have those conversations with Diane and Todd, and we listen to their reasoning behind what they feel we can do.
Right.
And
so,
and if we don't have the money, then...
So what I'm suggesting is that we have some dates set in the future where we're working on just these things with Todd and Diane, you know, present, so they know that our what our concerns are, and give them some time to work on them, you know, not just bring them in and hit them with
bam,
with
right.
six items to work on and and do that throughout the year. I think would be an admirable goal that would solve a lot of those. Also, I don't know.
Sounds like a board work plan.
Yeah.
Right throughout the year. I mean, that's the end result, right? I'm not coming here with a list of let's
do this tonight.
We're going to do this by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. That's not I'm not.
You shouldn't do it by yourself. I mean, I mean, that's not our job.
We couldn't do it if we wanted to.
We cannot do it by ourselves.
Right.
It's just these are the things that we're going to focus on this year. We're going to try to find, you know, that's
okay.
That's where I was coming from. I think support. We already support the strategic plan. We passed it. We voted on it. It's enacted. We're going to monitor it. We're going to get presentations on it. We already know, even if we don't do anything tonight, that's going to happen. We know that. That's my point of view.
Okay.
This is a good conversation.
It is. I know. I mean, I think it's a great idea to schedule some regular meetings to focus on. And you know, I guess I would say, you know, can we prioritize three or something, you know, something like that. Because there's an awful lot that they're already working on that I think we all agree is very important.
Well, if you look at student growth, there's one that jumps off the page, and that's student-teacher ratio. I mean, the more teachers you have per students, the better learning is going to be. I mean, I don't care.
And there's so many. I mean, I think that safety is tied to that.
Yeah.
You know, so student learning, safety, engagement, all of those kinds of things.
Case in point, if you have an optimal for K-4, optimal teacher, there's more eyes on what's happening.
Right.
Sure.
Which is going to prevent or
bullying and
some of the
harassment.
So it is a solution to some of the things that are. I mean, it, and the K through four, the reason why I think I'm focusing on that is because we want to get kids to love learning. We're going to go into different, you know, the order you get, you're going to go into different classes, and
it's going to be a little more personalized.
We're not going to control high school, right? I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. They're selecting their classes. I don't think that's fair. But K through four, let's get them to love reading, love learning. Let's get them that personal connection. I think it's great that we have personalized learning. We have a lot of technology. I also think it's a little scary seeing a third grader type an essay out and not handwriting one. It doesn't matter. Do it either way. But I think getting that personal, they're valued, they're connected. The teachers are less stressed, which gives you wellness. You don't have... that solves a lot of problems for a lot of teachers and a lot of buildings.
Yeah.
But that will impact our growth plan. How do we grow? Where are we growing? Because we have class sizes that are...
I think for safety, there was a talk, I can't remember what it was, safety, whatever, but talk about that, or at some point, Todd was talking about that facilities plan, you know, I think he had that in the safety and stuff, in that safety area, because I do feel like there's so many, like I was just saying, supporting a proactive approach to reducing risk factors throughout our district, and as we experience growth and the potential for new buildings, the focus on safety is essential. So in my mind, it was that whole growth plan needs to be focused on a lot of different factors, and I know that's where they're planning to have a community... like a community committee with a variety of different stakeholders, including students on that. But I think that's a great conversation for the board to have, to, you know, to say these are the kinds of things we're hearing and, you know, how can we help with connections? Because I know, you know, with economic development and stuff, that's a relationship that we need to work on. And how can we do that? So, I don't know. So it's okay. So right, we've got student teacher ratio is a big one. Mm-hmm. Would you think that facilities and growth, or would like the district growth plan process kind of a thing?
I'm not gonna. I think you get the gist of what I was saying. Mm-hmm. It does need polishing and maybe some refining. What does that mean exactly? Because I just wrote it down. It's brainstorming, so put it out there. I don't know. What does that look to everyone?
Hey, we've discussed. We had a year ago. We had Ryan Walker give us an update on the land, the facilities, and so forth that the board owns, and we own. Obviously, the East Building, we own a few acres on Milford, Milford Avenue. Mm-hmm. We own quite a bit of land around Bunsold. Mm-hmm. We own pretty much the whole corner, except for the little point where a house is. Mm-hmm. But the field that comes over to Southard Road, all of that, and pretty much everything
is related to Southern.
Yeah, and that's
80 acres tillable, and there's more.
Yeah,
developable.
Right. Mm-hmm. We owned about 40 acres behind the soccer field at the high school, the trees and where it goes down into the park and so forth.
Yeah, connects to the city park here.
Yeah.
Trail, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And we own a little slice of property behind Raymond that's a separate area that's just woods. I think the kids go back on some hikes through the woods or something back there on that. And I think that's pretty much it in terms of property. We also know from Todd that 29 is the year that the bonds are paid off, and so finances would lend itself to asking for money to build new buildings or to add on to additional buildings or whatever. And that's seven years out, which gives us some time to see where growth and development is going to occur, whether some of the developers decide they may give us some land or encourage us to put a school in their development. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things there. But I think that with the growth, I think that's an area where we can make sure that we are staying abreast of things, that we're at least considering some things. We know that the oldest part of the Raymond building is not in good shape and is probably very much like East in that it cannot be rehabilitated inexpensively enough.
I don't think I'd put East in that sentence.
Well, that
East is very easily rehabilitated.
Well,
Raymond, on the other hand, no.
Not
East, maybe not for classrooms, not easily rehabilitated for younger kids to go there.
I'm going to disagree on that. I've been through it enough, and I would not have a problem. I mean, it's as in good a shape as Edgewood. You know, it just doesn't have the kids in it. And that's where, you know, I guess I would disagree with.
We'll just have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like, Edgewood is.
How old is that building?
East? I know Steve was in the first, second grade class at Edgewood. I think East was there before that.
But I
feel like Edgewood has been maintained on a regular basis versus East has not.
Yeah.
I think that's a big difference.
We had an engineer look at it.
I know. But
yeah. So. Yeah.
I'm just going to say this because we're on recording.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're wrong in one area, when I'm talking to you, then everything else becomes subject, okay? And there were things in that engineering report that were so sky high that were wrong, and multiple things that I have to question the whole report as not being a valid report. Now, I agree it helps sell the idea of not renovating it, but that was a position that the current board wanted, you know, and hired an architect. You know, you can always tell which way a survey is going to go by who paid for the survey, always. And, you know, I just point out a couple examples. There's a $90,000 bid in there to build, a retention wall around the dumpster. You know, there was a $150,000 bid to pressure wash the building. It doesn't need pressure washed. You know, that's an aesthetic value. It's not a safety value. And I know many companies that would wash that building for years for $150,000. I might develop one, you know. The roof came in at like $500,000 on that same survey, and we got it done for $300,000, you know. There's an example of a saving money baby, but also of an inflated report. And so I just threw out a few of them, but I went through it and detailed every one of them. Some of them I'm not qualified to answer, but, you know, ripping up all the sidewalks and replacing them. That's ridiculous. I mean, we wouldn't do that on any building we own. And I looked at, I went and walked around the building, and, you know, there's some concrete that needs repaired, but we don't need to rip out, you know, ripping out all the doors and replacing all the doors and windows. They're in great shape. You know, we're not going to do that to this room. Why would we do it there? So there were so many problems with that survey that I just cannot get behind that. So, but back to your statement, we're not going to renovate Raymond. You know,
yeah,
that's for sure. And, you know, we don't need a study to find that out, you know.
And in terms of growth, you know, that is a factor that at some point the decision will have to be made, and that's will be a significant cost item at that point. So in terms of a growth plan, I agree, and I think that there are some things which we already know, but I think we need to make sure that we continually stay on top of that and we continually try to get more information so that we're in a good position to make the kinds of decisions that we're going to face.
I agree that we should have a facilities and growth plan, right? If we want to word it like that. With Raymond, I think it's important for us to value that building because that is an area that has a lot of memories for a lot of people, multiple generations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not from that area, but I know that. Because I know people in my classmates who went to that building. And
right.
So I think whatever we do, we have to hold that building as a treasure for that community. Because it's our community.
Yep.
So are you separating the Raymond School versus the old Northwest High School?
I'm saying, I understand the question. Mm-hmm. The old part that we walked through, I think super walked that old part. I think whenever we do that space, and even the school, I mean, we have kids in the staging and lunch. I mean, they had like a window AC unit, right? Or was I wrong? I thought I saw a window AC
in the cafeteria. Yeah.
Yes.
In the cafeteria.
Yeah. Yeah. At least they have air now, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, I'm saying, in general.
Right.
Whatever the best solution is, we need community support.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, I was looking at more how do we get people on these committees.
Right.
I think we could strategically, we represent the community, so how do we make sure it's all laid out? Do you want to serve? How do you serve? How long are the terms? Now, we can ask the superintendent treasurer to come up with that process.
I mean, they might already have one. You know, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
I think we're the board and we don't have that. That's
Well, I know that there have been various committees that have been formed, and Diane has created committees. And sometimes the membership of the committee was very intentional to try to make sure that
there was representation.
There was representation from a broad cross-section of people that kid, you know, people that had children in school, people that didn't have children in school, you know, whatever the backgrounds are. And I think Todd has a committee, which is the finance committee, and that's his committee. So he determines the membership, and he decides who he invites or does not invite, what kind of people he wants on there. And he's got...
I think the majority of the people on there they've been serving for a long time, which I think is
right.
It's nice to bring in some new blood every once in a while, but it's also, especially with finances, to get people who've been serving for a while and who understand some of the limitations.
There are a number of people on there that's helped. And I don't necessarily know exactly what they do, but they have at least some experience with finance and budgets and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Which, you know, he uses for his purposes and so forth. So,
I'm not saying that I think I question
understanding the process.
And we are a growing community. We have more skilled people moving into our community. If you have stagnant committees, or you have committees that we don't know, you could really have an echo chamber. And we don't know. We don't know what the process is. I mean, I think, is it a board work item, actionable item? I think it is. But I would like just to see how that is, and then how do we make sure our committees people in the community who want to serve. And we could do all this work and maybe no one applies. It's possible. But if it's something as important as finance committee, those people are going to be the best advocates during levy time. Mm-hmm. We have to get new people there because there's more people coming to the community who may not be knowledgeable. So we have to have staggered terms. I mean, I think it's best for the community. That's my view. I'm not trying to recreate the wheel, so to speak. I'm trying to make things better.
Yeah, but I don't think there are no terms with the finance committee. I mean,
well, and the committees have different purposes. Some of them are long standing. Some of them are just for, so like when we did redistricting, you know, like there was a very clear process. Mm-hmm. For those committees, or for that committee, and every building had a certain number of parents and stuff like that. So, to me, that was, and I don't know. I mean, I felt like I understood clearly the process.
They opened it up to the parents in the building. Said, if you want to be on this committee, let us know, mm-hmm. and made sure that they had
equal representation from every building. Right.
Most of our committees are non-functioning.
Right. Well, but like if you go to the committees that are in the strategic plan to be created, whether it's a safety committee or a facilities planning committee, I think
superintendent committees,
right.
They're not board committees,
right? They're not. But Diane did a nice job explaining the redistricting committees, and I have no reason to believe that there wouldn't be a similar process. But I think that it's a good conversation to have. Yeah. So I have no problems saying, okay, yeah, we've got some really important committees that you're going to be working on, so talk to us about how you're planning to find the people to serve on this committee, and also please share those names with us so that when we're out in the community and we see somebody and we happen to know them, we can say, hey, thanks so much for serving on this committee. You know, we appreciate your service to the district.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. I think those are good conversations.
And I think it's good for it to be public that people know, oh, these are happening.
Right.
These are opportunities. Well, maybe not now, but
right. There may be somebody who a building principal doesn't know who maybe has a level of expertise in an area that really wants to serve. So, yeah.
I think there's positive. I don't think we need to figure it out tonight. I just think that's something we should start the process in some way.
Okay.
It does.
And that could even be, I think that could even be part of our goal meeting conversations with Diane and Todd, because I know Diane's doing the safety committee, and I think Todd was doing the facilities committee. So I think that those could be some conversations. We have something scheduled at the end. I don't have it scheduled yet, but like the end of September, November, January, March. Those are ongoing conversations, and then we could also follow up with discussion at the board meeting. Does that sound reasonable to address that committee question?
Yeah, I
think so.
I also think that at least one board member should be on the superintendent's committee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you and Dick are on the finance committee, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So. Yeah. Is it like a silent role? What's that look like?
It's not. It's like a non-voting committee. So it's really just an opportunity for, sometimes Dick and I are both there, sometimes one of us, but it's an opportunity for us to listen to comments from the committee members and maybe to share things from the board's perspective, I guess, and then like a lot of times we'll ask at the end, you know, what would you like us to share with the board? Are there comments, questions, concerns?
That's valuable.
And most of the time I go in trying to focus on a question that I can ask. You know, somebody makes a statement, you know, why do you feel that way, or could you explain that? You know, just to get more information out. And from time to time, they have questions of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't think of any specific example, but I know we've fielded a few questions there.
Mm-hmm.
I attend the the policy, but that's a the policy committee. That's a working, just a working committee where policy recommendations come in. They get assigned to various administrators based on their area of supervision. They research it, make a recommendation to the group. Most of the time, probably 90-95% of the time, there's been a change in state law. Mm-hmm. And so the recommendation mm-hmm. is to do what the state law says. Mm-hmm. We have the option to go beyond, but these administrators look at the existing policy, they look at the new recommendation, they try to inform everybody of their perspective as to whether or not, you know, this change is good, this change is enough, you know, do they need some rewording or whatever. And then that kind of consensus comes to us as the board. And I sometimes ask a question. Most of the time I sit there and say, yes, I understand. That's it. There's no vote. There's no, you know, sometimes there's some debate about how things are worded, what we've done, you know. But typically either the attorneys or OSBA policy department drives most of everything that comes across. And in you get the notes. Typically they say, you know, the recommendation from policy is to adopt the OSBA suggested language, which keeps us legal.
That's like one of the things we get to do is write policy, and it's like the state writes it for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yep.
Okay, so try and get to some kind of a consensus here. I'm hearing that we would like to schedule some work sessions to discuss, at this point, student-teacher ratio, growth facility plans. To me, those are the two most important things. I feel with the committee membership process, I mean, we can include that as focus areas, but I also feel like that's just kind of
As I think about it, again, mm-hmm. trying to make sure we stay
in our lanes,
in our area, mm-hmm. if we want to look at the policy, at how we create board committees mm-hmm. and membership to board committees,
right.
that would be appropriate mm-hmm. for us. I mean, we can talk to the superintendent and we can say we'd like to make sure that, you know,
your committees are reflective of, yes. Uh-huh.
But I don't know if we should get into telling the superintendent or the treasurer this mm-hmm. is how you ought to
I do think is that we ought to ask, how is this committee established?
Absolutely.
At this point, we don't want any input. We just want to know, how did you come about this committee?
Right.
What's the turnover? How did he get on the committee? How did he get off the committee?
Yeah.
Right. Just understand the process.
Right.
If, like if somebody would ask us or somebody would say, hey, I understand there's this committee. I'd like to be on it.
Right.
Then we could say, okay, well, here's the process or something, you know.
Yeah.
Call Diane, call Todd, but, you know, have a general idea.
Most of the committees mm-hmm. in this school district mm-hmm. historically have, with the exception of finance, mm-hmm. have been short-term.
Yeah, special project.
You know, specific mm-hmm. To an issue or problem like mm-hmm. Redistricting now.
Right, right.
Because typically all the parents that are on the redistricting committee mm-hmm. in 5 years, their kids are in different buildings.
Right, they're out of elementaries. Redistricting is just for elementaries, so yeah.
And so the redistricting was only involved elementary. It didn't involve mm-hmm. middle school, intermediate, mm-hmm. or high schools.
Right. And again, just kind of go back to that. We did understand that process. Mm-hmm. So I think as we look to the future, there are some important committees.
I would love to look at the board list of appointments, see what's needed, see what the committees, see if we just look at before the reorg. That way we know. I don't know when the last time that was looked at. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was recently.
We made a few revisions a couple years ago.
Yeah. Well, basically, we look at it every year in our organizational committee because somebody on the board gets appointed to, I think, Nan, you and I were on the facilities committee. Mm-hmm. We've never had a meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Right, right. Well, and that might be something that as they're planning that facilities thing, then hey, man, but again, one of the things is if they are board committees, then you have to take minutes, you have to notice the meeting, and they're open to the public.
That's what I'm saying. Instead of having this list of board committees, we can do that. That's why I think it, you know, part of me wants to agree with you. We can't tell the superintendent and the treasurer how they run their committees, but if we have liaisons to those, we have to have that collaboration piece. And how do we do this?
Right.
I don't know what's going on.
I think what Dan said is we should have a board member on some of these committees, right? Mm-hmm. We have assignments. And so I think we don't need to solve it tonight, but we should take a look at all that. How do we clean up what the board appointments committees are? How do we interact with the board, the superintendent, treasurer's committees?
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the very basic level, we should be informed at least on an annual basis who's serving on the treasurer mm-hmm. and the superintendent's advisory committees, mm-hmm. and at least know in the purpose of what they're doing.
Right, and I think the other thing is just making sure that that the goal for serving on the committee is not to make sure that what we're being told is, you know, like that there's some trust there, you know. I guess that's I think that's just something that it's important to just be right out front and say, you know, this is not related to trust issues at all. You know, there's an interest in the board level just to know what's happening, to you know, collaborate with our fellow community members and things like that, you know. So I'm just trying to be transparent about that, you know, and have it on the record that we're all on the same page there, because sometimes it's not the case, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's like I ordered this book, you know. Jermaine had asked for some additional reading. I checked with Kim Miller Smith. I called Kim Miller Smith, and she says, "Well, let me look into it." And then she's like, "Oh, one of our communications ladies at OSBA recommended this book." She goes, "I should have asked her right from the beginning." So I ordered it, and then I asked Diane to get one for all of us and maybe do like a little book study. But the nice thing is, it has 28 examples of terrible habits of board members. But it's nice.
Have
it's
we
like
got them all?
A two-page explanation of what happened, and then it has a plan B with five or six options of other ways to approach an issue, lessons learned, and then superintendent's lessons learned too. So it gives suggestions to the superintendent. If this happens with your board, here are some ways that you can help rectify a situation. So, you know, the goal of all of these is to just develop a stronger team atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So when they come in, we can start reading through this, and it's been a good reminder for me of some things too. And sometimes I look at the options and I'm like, oh, I never thought about that, or, you know, I might have done that too. And I think the guy's name is Rich Richland, but anyways, we can be looking out for this. So that's kind of the long story to go back to that, just kind of being transparent about what our purpose reasons are for doing things. So again, go back to that. Have these meetings at a regular level, maybe every 3 or 4 months. Sit down and have a special meeting with Todd and Diane to get updates, have conversations on these. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I would also, oh, go ahead.
Nan brought up personalized learning.
Yes. You want to add that as one of these priorities to add
bring
to the discussion?
The question up. I don't.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I think.
Because the permanent improvement updates will.
I think we should just automatically get those.
Yeah.
Make sure that, and again, as we're talking to Todd,
I think that there's collaboration with the facilities and the growth committee or that work and the permanent improvement.
It's connected there.
It's connected there. I just know, I didn't write everyone. I know
so growth facilities, PI.
Is that something that, are those separate meetings, like the important meetings, or is that the work plan?
I think that would be, I like that idea. Just like updates
right.
on how are we supporting new staff members
right.
and just like maybe more detailed,
informal detailed conversations. On how we have coaches
mm-hmm.
in each building, like
mm-hmm.
teaching coaches in each building, which I think is a great asset to learn,
mm-hmm.
To work with the teachers, whether they're newer teachers or older teachers, and help them create more personalized learning. Because the better a teacher is at scaffolding the information
mm-hmm.
within their classroom, the more they can address the students that need extra help, but they can also very clearly address the gifted students
right.
in the classroom.
Right.
So I've heard this comment about gifted, classes for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But if the teachers have the right skills and the right class size,
yes.
they can easily scaffold whatever lessons they're doing to gift level challenges.
Right.
So
right.
it's a.
So really, I mean, I think you could combine the personalized learning, ESL, English language, second language, and gifted
mm-hmm.
kind of in that whole, like one additional conversation area.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, and with the new people being brought in for the English as a second language, and I was going to, in some of the test scores and stuff,
mm-hmm.
We were way exceeding the goals set for the students in the different categories.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I don't have any information as to why that is, but that's great. I mean,
right.
Is it a resilience thing or work ethic thing? Is it
mm-hmm.
a love of education?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
they have
right.
the opportunity they want to seize.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The parental support could be a whole slew of different things, but
mm-hmm.
I think it's very key to understanding where. We have finite dollars. No matter what anyone says, we
right.
have finite dollars. So we have to focus on, we can't be everything to anybody, though we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we cannot be everything to anybody. So where do we want to focus our dollars? And I think that's what the discussion really needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we, can we focus the money that we have? And do the most good for our students.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this sounds like three good areas to have more informal discussions outside of a regular board meeting where we're taking care of board business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I guess we can say that is our work plan. But I'm also going to say, I feel like it's helpful to outline some action steps that are similar to what we've done in the past as a reminder
mm-hmm.
of really what our focus is too. I mean, and yes, I agree, we approved the strategic plan, so yes, we're going to support it, but I feel like the strategic plan, if you look at that, it has strategies with kind of district level action steps and stuff, but our action steps are different. You know, and there could be some, even when we say support, there could be some specific ways that we can support things with continuing education for us, or, you know, like I've got one in safety and wellness where I say be positive role models to our students, staff, community at all times. Promote a welcoming environment in our district. And I think as board members, we do that. You know, when we have a community coffee, when people watch us in our meetings, we've been respectful, and people have commented about that. And I think that's, to me, it's a reminder for both us and for our community to see what our expectations are of ourselves as a board.
Yep.
For the record,
for the record, we've got yes nods going
yes,
on here.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So are you? Can we?
I mean, even though we've passed it, there are still things I think we need to do in support of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes back to we will encourage, we will mm-hmm. support, mm-hmm. we will,
promote.
We will promote, mm-hmm. we will stay informed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, those kind of general
Just as an example, mm-hmm. in our goal 4 of mm-hmm. last year's goals, mm-hmm. it's stuff like maintain good public relations with our community, mm-hmm. be an advocate for public education, network and engage with the community and businesses, mm-hmm. seek potential collaborative opportunities to present to the superintendent, visit each building at least twice per year, strive to have a presence at extracurricular events, and then maintain and update the board website related to board items.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of more of a
to-do list. Yeah, right. So I mean, in a sense, I feel like it is a work plan. But I really like your idea, Jermaine, to come up with some areas and have these informal discussions.
I think that's great.
It's a little bit more, a little bit more. We're in this as a team, and I look at this as an opportunity for us to gain a better understanding. So when you are having conversations, when you are hearing from people, you can say, "Hey, you know, we're working on that." Or you can say, it also gives you an opportunity to say, "Just so you know, here are some limitations we have." You know, that you may not be aware of. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think that's great. It helps mm-hmm. us be better ambassadors mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. community, whatever, connectors. Okay. Good. Here's a thought. If you have some bullet points kind of connected to this format, the old work plan format, that you would like to send to me. I know, like, Man and I, do we want to, unless somebody else wants to, Man and I can work on, I know you're going to be on vacation and stuff, but kind of trying to combine some of those bullet points into something like this, or any, you know, I don't know.
Well, we had the removing the COVID stuff.
Yes.
Is there anything that we're deleting out other than that?
I mean, I've changed the wording on a lot, and okay. I've combined a few things. I've mm-hmm. gotten rid of some other things. I've tried to
under our old goal number 3, uh-huh. which was safe learning environment. I had something not worded very well about a SRO program.
Okay, so yeah, like send if you want to revise or add something.
Okay. I'll send you some thoughts, and then you'll be free to
come up with a draft as a starting point again. So yes, okay.
It's important to do that though, because it's not we're in the middle of the year, right? And it's not done. So
right,
it's
I know.
Little, yeah,
right.
Try and go ahead.
Can I shift gears?
Yes,
because I think what he said is a great way to approach the plan.
Okay.
But I think also on the safety note, mm-hmm. We have some dollars. I talked to Todd about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't have any concrete information to present, but at the School Board Association, they had a a demonstration of a metal detector, you know, that you could purchase. And of course, when I heard the price, I just we're going to go the old-fashioned way, shake the book bag, I guess, and see if it makes any noise. But I mean, these devices were $10,000 to $15,000, depending on what you wanted in them. And the neat thing about it is they could detect a gun, a knife, or a little tiny knife. I mean, that specifically. And they didn't need anybody to sit there and man them. Like, you know, if you've been through the courthouse recently, you realize they're going to have a deputy there all the time.
Yes.
And holy cow.
And
my steel shoes are a problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I walked through that thing. Guy gave me a book bag to carry through the thing. He said, "You got a 9mm semi-automatic in that book bag." I'm like, "Great." Opened it. Sure enough, there it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he could have done that other ways. But my point is, my shoes didn't set it off. He knew exactly what was in the book bag.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sends a picture of the student to an administrator, whoever you want, you know, that says, "This kid's got something in their book bag. You need to check them out first period or whatever," mm-hmm. you know. And the kid doesn't even know that he's been detected mm-hmm. at that point in time, because there's no audible, there's no mention, you know, mm-hmm. turn around, get
no
out of here.
No buzzer going off.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. nothing. And I thought it was really slick. And they had portable units so you could show up at the ball game, you know, and mm-hmm. set that at the door and everybody go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought $10,000 or $15,000, we couldn't afford to do that except maybe one. Mm-hmm. And then what building gets it today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But with these dollars that may be coming from the federal government, state government, I'm sorry, to buy security equipment and not be used on the SRO officers, mm-hmm. this might be something to really look into. Yeah. And
you did, just so you know, you talked to Todd.
I did.
After the meeting last month. So Todd is, and I think he was
going
to try and look into
yeah.
that, maybe talk to Ryan about
right.
that. And I think I felt like the money that we just got is already earmarked,
mm-hmm.
but I know they're going to apply for the
second round.
We may not get any since we already got some, but
right.
but having that awareness and, you know, so I think those are great things.
Yeah.
That's an example right there of somebody attending an OSB event, getting mm-hmm. some information, sharing it with our administrator so that they can follow up and we can follow up as well. Say,
mm-hmm.
what have you found out about this? Are there, you know, if we don't get the money, are there other ways?
We could fund it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, good ideas.
So what's the next step for the board plan?
So I would say, I'll update Diane on our conversations, Diane and Todd. And we'll need to set up some dates for these work session, additional informal meetings. And then as far as this kind of thing, I if people send me their bullet points, comments, whatever, I will try and get a draft out as soon as possible so that we can maybe just hopefully discuss it and potentially approve something at our September meeting, which is the 15th of September. It's early because September 1st is a Thursday.
Okay.
So, and again, I know Nan's going on vacation this Friday, and I'm going to be in Bowling Green tomorrow and Wednesday. But I'll try and work on it, okay? Or we'll try and work on it, or if there's somebody else that wants, you know, whatever, I don't want to just assume.
Yeah, I'm not sure how my Wi-Fi is going to be where
I know.
Going,
so. Yeah. Well, and if you're on vacation,
yeah.
I'm not going to ask you then. But we'll figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try. Just send me your bullet points as soon as you can.
Okay.
And
then once we do that, why don't you send up the draft?
September 7th.
Then
then you send out the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We can look.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want, like, you, okay.
For us,
okay. Yes. Once I get bullet points from people, I will add it to mine that I've got, and we'll, and then I'll send something out.
Okay.
Okay, and we can't really, and just like if I do send it out, we're not going to be able to, like, I'm going to send it out, but we can't really have conversations.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can, you know? We can listen.
But, yeah, I mean, and I'll double check on that, since this is not really, you know, it's our work plan, so I think
we can't, because
there was sunshine laws.
Someone had a Google Doc, and I don't
know
if
they're
yes.
And that was a.
I know, because Diane sent me the template as a Google Doc. I'm like, I just copied it into
it.
My good old Excel.
Yeah, well, I was good.
I mean, looking at what was
hosted. I don't know if it was
year,
in that.
I mean, I kind of laid out what my bullet points were.
Community flyer. I know
there's pieces of this, but I was going to
like with those bullet points, I can maybe try and work some of those things into a comment about
categories that I envision them to be.
Yes.
Student
learning. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And I because I think
now that's.
So I guess we have to look at the strategic plan and
This is the one where we're third.
To that, right?
Yep. Okay.
That's the most recent one that he has.
Yeah, combination of the strategic plan and or Todd's and Diane's goals.
Okay.
You know, like, again, we're, it's just
the thing
that
I'm scared is
might
all
be
these,
like
everybody's
duplicating stuff, or, you know,
right,
like
now,
redundant,
sure,
in some senses, but
yeah.
I don't,
and I understand why.
I don't feel like that's a terrible thing.
I mean,
we
this,
may be coming in late to the game.
Well,
and maybe add a section in here.
Yes,
we
are.
We can't
on everything.
Too far
maybe
in
add
advance.
A section at the beginning that
right.
talks about
long us.
Our intent
right.
is to add some work sessions to focus on areas that the board
cash balance, you know,
wants to focus on this year.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful, because that
yes,
is a
that highlights
that is saying like, yeah, it's
yes.
That would help, because I think that would
right.
then put
okay,
that.
So
yeah,
on,
we can
hash balance.
Having these
how long can we run
these topics that
in that
right.
node
right.
we care about?
Right. That completely
like
support
I can tell you
the strategic
personal
plan.
Ending cash balance is yours.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
But I can
that
run that
good.
Way for
right.
for a number of years.
Okay,
know.
Guys.
Well, we can run.
Are we good with this?
3 years.
Any more discussion? Go ahead.
No, I move we adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn, Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call.
Mr. Smith, yes. Mr. Keck,
yes.
Ms. Savage,
yes.
Mr. Ferguson,
yes.
Ms. Devine,
yes. Motion carries. We are adjourned at 7:00.